And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Yes, indeed. Good morning to you. It is Friday, the 20th of December, 2024, and it is just 4 minutes past nine. And you're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. And we've got a cracking show for you. We're out and about today. We're live from the Villa Rose Hotel Ballybuffet, celebrating their 12 days of Christmas kindness. We'll be speaking to the management and staff of the hotel a little later on. We also have live music in studio. Shauna Scanlon, a very talented local singer, is going to be joining us. We also have Farah Boyle singing a couple of songs, and we have the HSC choir in studio as well with us too, so it's all very, very exciting. Not only that, Fionnuala Rabbit will be joining us throughout the course of the morning too, as she unveils the winners of our super popular colouring competition. So that's all coming up over the course of the next 3 hours. I'll introduce our Friday panel to you very shortly. Just want to remind you though that we are open for business as normal through our text and phone services. If you want to WhatsApp text throughout the course of the morning, 086 60 25000 086 60 25000, or indeed if you want to give us a call, it's 07491 25000. All of that patched directly into us here. And if email is your thing, don't forget we've got comments at Highland Radio running there for you. It's going to be a really visual show as well, so we'll invite you, if it suits you, to watch the program. We're streaming live on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, so that means you can watch us on your smart TV or Fire Stick if it suits you. We're also on our Facebook pages and on the X platform. Okay, so that's all that done. Let's say good morning now to our guests today. Paul Harkin, owner of Harkin's Gala and chairperson of Ballybuffet Stranorlar Chamber. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks so very much for joining us. A wee short trip for you.
You're welcome.
Was it?
Not too bad.
Okay,
well, no, right. Actually, Love and Lufford, Greg.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Right, okay. Barry Sweeney joins us as well, former Fine Gael councillor. Barry, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg.
Thanks so much for making your way up today. And also, Barry Sweeney, I've just introduced Barry Sweeney, councillor Martin Scanlon, independent councillor in the Lifford Stranorlar Municipal District. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
It's great to have you all with us. Right, now, lots to talk about this morning. And I'll start with a topic we featured quite extensively on the show yesterday. We had our annual Christmas road safety appeal on the show with representatives of the emergency services imploring people to take care on our roads. 178 people have lost their lives on the Republic's road so far this year, many more suffering life-changing injuries. And such is the devastation on our roads that even since we decided we'd be discussing this topic, very sadly, another person has lost their lives. I know from those within the emergency services there is frustration that the road safety message isn't getting through. There's a high number of people still being caught drink and drug driving on our roads. You know, I think in the course of a week up to last Tuesday, there was 10 people caught under the influence of drink and drugs. So, I mean, is there any more we could be doing? Like, could penalties be harsher? How do we maybe get people to take more personal responsibility? Councillor Martin Scanlon, what's your views?
Well, I think the onus has to be on the drivers first and foremost about reducing their speeds. More Garda presence on the roads would be a big issue and a big help. Like, you could drive from here to Dublin, not see one checkpoint along our roads, and I don't think the fines are steep enough for the penalties. In 2017, there were plans drawn up to increase the fines, you know, as part of your salary. You know, where somebody on 50,000 would end up paying 1,000 for a speeding fine. There's, I think, something like that there. It was meant to be sent to the minister at the time. I think it was Shane Ross. So there's a scheme like that already in place in Scandinavia. Recently, I think there was a millionaire. They got a 54,000 euro fine for speeding that went on his salary. So something like that there should be brought in, hit in the pocket, and I think that's the first place it should to tackle the problems.
Yeah, it's an interesting proposal, isn't it, that it would be linked to potentially your income, so you wouldn't unfairly penalise people. It would be sort of related to how much money they had at their disposal.
Well, currently it's 160 euros of a fine and 3 points, which, like, I'm not 160 euros isn't irrelevant, but to somebody that's on 1,000 to 1,500 a week, you know, what's could manage it.
Barry Sweeney, what's your views on this as well? Because, as I say, you know, we seem to have been making great inroads, and now we're seeing it going in the other direction. I mean, we still have the end of the year to come. I think we are. I think we're 11 fatalities behind last year. But that being said, we still have, you know, effectively three coach loads of people that are no longer with us because of the road traffic collisions.
Yeah, there's utter devastation in within so many families, 178 families around the country this year, and a lot more in Donegal this year than there were last year, in fact. And I just go back to the wonderful interview that you had with Michelle McKenna yesterday, whose son tragically died in a road accident. And you could see in Michelle's being, her voice, the devastation, the impact it's had on her and her family. And it's truly tragic, you know. So an interview like that just shows you that we need to do more. We have to do more to try and stop this devastation within people's lives. And that's, you know, an awful lot of it, like Martin has said, is down to driver behaviour. And also, as well as driver behaviour, I suppose, cyclist behaviour and pedestrian road users' behaviour.
It's a shared space, isn't it? So we all have to take our level of responsibility.
We do indeed, and that awareness and those kind of programmes that are run through the RSA and the Donegal County Council each year that are really good for the younger generation. But also, I do think the older generation, as you, some form of continual assessment, you know, as you progress in life, you know, your habits change, your good habits can slip and slide, and I think that it would be absolutely no harm. There were suggestions at some stage there recently about the, as well as a fine, to have a kind of a
speed awareness course.
That kind of thing. And that would absolutely be no harm to have that as part, in addition to a speeding fine or something. And that's really important. But also there are physical things that we can do, you know, throughout our infrastructure, and making our infrastructure safer and segregating cyclists and pedestrians from vehicles. Things like, say, you know, some of the active travel projects that are going on, or even the bigger, the 10T project, there's certain safety measures that are, I suppose, of a European or an international standard that are being taken into consideration as part of all that, and the various safety sort of technology and that is coming on board. That will all be part of these new roads, like the 10T network that's trans-European. We'll see it in Ballybofey, and we'll see it in Letterkenny in, you know, within the next 10 years, shall we say. But they are there are measures that have to be taken and will be taken. But
I just find that, you know, we listen to the likes of Michelle McKenna, who I think did so much through her bravery yesterday in reaching people, and the message landing where it hadn't landed before. But, you know, we talk about it an awful lot, and this is now separate to my comments on Michelle. But as soon as it's something that might inconvenience us, we seem to pull away, right? Mm. So, I mean, obviously, we see how younger drivers with black boxes, it does affect how they drive. They can't corner hard. Mm. They can't go over the limits, right? But you start talking about that for general road users, all of a sudden, people's compassion seems to slip away. Mm. The priority then is, hold on, you know, I bought this car and I want to be able to put my foot down. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So it seems to be that we really care. We're really upset as a general population. But as soon as it's something that might pull us up or down, all of a sudden then it's off the table again.
Yes, and I think we're always in a rush nowadays. We need to chill out a wee bit more in general. And we get very stressed about getting to places on time and that. And that's important. We need to be punctual. but I know I can hear some people sniggering when I say that. But I do think, you know, the attitude, the driver behaviour, and like some people can't sit behind a car if it's travelling below a certain speed. Why not just chill out and sit back there? You'll get there. How many seconds are you going to save on your journey? You know, and it's as the old saying goes, arrive alive is the most important thing.
And it's a simple message, isn't it? But really, it has stood the test of time. Paul Harkin, owner of Harkin's Gales and chair of the Ballybofey Stranraer Chamber, what's your views on all of this?
Well, look, for me, education is obviously key. It's important, particularly to educate our young people on this from an early age. Like the two lads, again, people have to take accountability and responsibility for their own actions. But I think the key thing in this is policing. I know in business we say that what gets measured usually gets done. If you take the, at this time of year, the Gardaí will have a huge campaign in terms of, you know, it'll be on the radio, it'll be on the media about the huge road campaign that they have to reduce the number of fatalities over the Christmas period. Last year, that ran from the 1st of December to the 3rd of January. We had 37 arrests here in the county. 32 of them were driving under the influence, and 5 of them were suspected of drug driving. But like, if you look at them stats in terms of 37 during that period, that's not murder reflective throughout the rest of the year. So for me, it's key that the Garda have a high presence out there. Now, I know the Garda will tell you that they're totally under-resourced. They haven't enough manpower. And I think in recent times, it's been said that there's actually more members exiting the Garda than they're recruiting. So again, that's another day's work, and that's something the government certainly need to look into.
Yeah.
But again, if you have the right policing of it, it certainly is a major deterrent.
Well, you see, that's the bottom line, isn't it, Councillor Scanlon? Because, you know, the Gardaí will say we are engaging in a high visible enforcement operation and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, people will take their phone out and text in, I drive 30,000 kilometres a year, I drive 40,000 kilometres a year, and I haven't been stopped in a checkpoint, by a checkpoint or at a checkpoint once.
No, well, it's plain to be seen if you're out on the road that the visibility is just not there of the Garda presence on the roads. It's not to be seen. And if they are on the roads, it keeps it in people's mind to keep within the speed limits. Like, in, speed vans are all well and good, but everybody knows where they're parking now. You could leave... You have your usual spots around Balbuffet here, even, that you just know where to watch out for. And you're on about the, talking about the driver awareness course. Like, I think that there's been muted instead of penalty points and a fine, which I wouldn't agree with. It should be at least both. That should be used, like, it shouldn't be used as a get out of jail card, for want of a better word for it. And unfortunately, we're going to have families that are listening to us this morning here now that are probably going to be have a bereavement on a road traffic accident over Christmas, like, and that's just the reality of it. Like, so I would just plead with everyone to slow down, don't drink and drive, don't drug drive, and put the phones away.
Yeah, indeed, put the phones away is a big one as well. But there's so much stuff, as we heard from Inspector Seamus McGonagall yesterday, there's so much going on the screens of cars now, it's almost as big a distraction as it is. Just before we move on, you know, if I were to run down Letterkenny Main Street or Ballybuffet, Stranoller Main Street, wielding a knife, right, you know, and I was caught by the guards, I probably would be facing a custodial sentence. There have been calls for people who are found to have been driving effectively a deadly weapon under the influence of a vehicle, you know, under the influence of drink or drugs. There have been calls that we should adopt something of a zero tolerance approach in relation to that people should be incarcerated for that type of stuff. The carrot's not working, it's time to bring out the stick. I don't know, Paul, you're nodding. I don't know if you think it's worth discussing or if it's something you actually agree with.
No, I certainly do agree, Greg. You know, you often, as I say, read in the newspaper, or a deed comes on in the media about somebody who's been up in court for, you know, in relation to fatality. And sometimes you look at the punishment dished out in them circumstances, and it does beg your belief. But look, again, I'll go back to the policing of it. You know, if the government's serious about trying to address this, like, we have all these initiatives. But, you know, year on year, it doesn't seem to be working.
Mm.
For me, if the government's serious about this, you need to police it. And again, you made reference to yourself, Greg, to the fact that, you know, you'll drive all year and probably not see a checkpoint. And, you know, over Christmas, you'll see that presence out there, and it does make a difference. And last year, we had, as I say, 37 people detected as a result of that, so that is hugely
potentially
required.
Tip of the iceberg, though. And just very, very finally before we move on, you know, there are three factors that contribute to road traffic collisions, generally speaking: driver behaviour, driver error, you know, the vehicle condition or what have you, and also the road's infrastructure. I wonder, particularly in a county like Donegal, how we don't know what level of contribution that has to these road traffic collisions. You know, signage missing, signage bent, not visible, covered by branches, potholes, water lying on the side of the road that catches your wheel as you're driving in the rain. It would be interesting, I think, Barry, if an audit of the roads was done generally and see how, you know, fit for purpose they actually are, because we can't ignore them as a factor.
Those roads are constantly monitored by, you know, by the council, and they do as much work as they can do on these roads. There's a certain budget, there's a certain workforce able to do this work. But simple things, and I would say even simple things like you mentioned the road water line on the side of the road, that's a very simple measure that I think is sometimes overlooked. They do it on the main roads, but I go back to an old man I used to know, Mr. Michael Quinn, who went to work with a spade on the bar of his bicycle, and he used to let out the water off the side of the road and drains and stuff. And I brought this up at some stage about that stitch in time, saving the roads, like, as well as saving, making the roads safer. But, you know, bad roads can make your, you know, I suppose bad roads can make it more dangerous, but also good roads can make it more dangerous as well. So
the majority of fatal road traffic collisions in this country happen on regional roads where the speed limit's 80.
Yes, of course.
Rather than the fast roads. But I'm not contradicting you, it's just making that point. Yes?
Greg, the other worrying statistic is that the vast majority of accidents in the country happen between the hours of 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. And that's when there's the least traffic on the road. So, like, we can make the argument about regional roads and signage and all that, but when them roads are at their busiest, there's less accidents.
Okay, some of your comments coming in on the text so far. Mobile phone says, listener, have a lot to answer for on the roads. I think this one might be for Martin. Typical overpaid councillor's remarks on 15 to 1600 euro a week. Perhaps this is his wages he's talking about. Totally out of touch with ordinary citizens. Well, councillors aren't, I can confirm, on that type of... I don't think anyone's retired on the annual pay a councillor gets.
15 or 1600 a week.
Yeah, but what would... But in fairness, and I'm not here to defend you, but in fairness, we're talking about there are people with various incomes and the fines would be proportionate to your income. So it would be a... Conor McGregor being done for speeding, I mean, he finds that in the old cigarette ashtray thingamajig, you know, whereas for other people it would be a major issue. Morning, I've just moved home from the UK and the speeding is ridiculous. One thing that could also help is better lit roads, more cat's eyes identifications where the ditches, etc., cyclists and walkers wearing high vis. Indeed, those seem like common sense suggestions, and Merry Christmas to you, listener, as well. Thank you for that. Good to have you home. Noticed many people not using lights too. Many of them have an end displayed. This is basic stuff, you know, you need to be able to see a car coming in the opposite direction. Hi, Greg, I met a car on Quigley's Point to Car and Donner Road this morning at Glen Toher, overtaking, meeting oncoming traffic in torrential rain. People need to cop on and take responsibility. Again, how can you police that behaviour out of that driver? That's where I'm concerned that maybe policing isn't the panacea. Is that the right word? It's not the fix-all anyway. Policing is the issue. There's no fear of being caught, says the listener. That's why people are risking it, which is some comments we've had from our panel, who are Barry Sweeney, our former Fine Gael councillor, Councillor Martin Scanlon, an independent, and Paul Harkin, local businessman here, and chair of Ballybuffet Stranoller Chamber. We'll be back with more from our guests and your comments as they come in after the break. We are out and about today. We're broadcasting live from the beautiful Villa Rose Hotel in Ballybuffet. They're celebrating their 12 days of Christmas kindness and invited us along to help with that. Delighted to be here. It is, for the most part, business as usual, but we have some great entertainment and guests for you over the course of the next hour and 2 hours and 35 minutes. We have Fionnuala joining us. She's going to be unveiling the winners of her colouring competition. We've got a choir in studio with us here as well, and loads more. And we'll speak to the management and staff here at the Villa Rose, the Gallen Group of Hotels, really effectively. We're in conversation with Barry Sweeney, Councillor Martin Scanlon, and Paul Harkin, and lots of you texting in as well, which is very good. Greg, I had a car written off once when an overhanging tree branch fell. Weeks later, I had to contact Highland Radio about remaining dangerous branches. Only then were they cut down. Another regarding road traffic collisions and people's attitudes, all fired up since COVID and lockdown. Coffee vans everywhere. People hyped up on caffeine, which is not something I've heard as a contributing factor before, but who's to say? Been driving for around 12 years, drove to Dublin, Galway, Belfast, etc. And once I was stopped at a Garda checkpoint, the Garda presence just isn't to be seen on the roads. And it does put me in mind of when the mandatory breathalyzing checkpoints came into force. I was stopped on day one, and I still have the little blower, but that was it. I never, ever encountered one since. But I suppose it depends when you're out and about on the roads as well. Right, keep your calls, comments coming in on that. Right, a quickie here, and this is not clickbait. It is something we had a lot of texts on, right? It's the Department of Defence. They've signed a deal to buy a new long-range government jet with an expected delivery date of December 2025. It's buying a French-made Falcon 6X at a cost of just €53 million plus VAT. The plane has a range of over 5,000 nautical miles, which means it can reach the west coast of the United States and doesn't need to refuel. The government's previous aircraft, the Learjet, was beleaguered with problems breaking down left, right and centre. So obviously this is drawn criticism, but in reality, is it something that the country needs, especially with the likes of Ireland's EU presidency in the second half of 2026, etc.? Barry, what do you think? It's the easiest thing in the world for someone like me to give the government a kicking on a €54 million jet. But are people's concerns or, you know, sneering justified?
Yeah, it's easy to say that. It's easy to say that money should be spent elsewhere. But I do believe we need a jet. Yeah, do we need one? Yes. And does it cost a lot of money? It certainly does. I think when they put it out there, out to tender or whatever, looking for a jet that they had a budget or they had planned for it to be about 45 million. Sorry. And so it's coming in at 53 million. And, you know, it is a very expensive thing. You have to keep in mind the crew, the running costs of that, you know, the VAT, the storage, all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be a very, very expensive thing. I think it's important maybe to say as well that this what has been known as the government jet, and I think they have a new name for it now called a strategic reach aircraft. Maybe to rebrand.
I would love to know how much they paid consultants for that name. I'm only joking.
But, you know, we're laughing at it, but this is something that is important as a nation to have the availability of this jet for our citizens, not just for our ministers or our Taoiseach or our president to travel around the world, but it is used. There was a few years ago there in Afghanistan when we were trying to evacuate citizens from a very, very dangerous.
I'm not sure it'd be suitable for that though. But
well, apparently this is what is said that they will be used in those kind of humanitarian type emergency
situations. Evacuating our citizens from wherever it might be.
From places in the world, and also for defence forces to use it as well for transport for them or supplies for them as well, which is something else that I've heard about. So it is something that it's for the citizens of Ireland, you know, not too many. I don't think Jim McGuinness will be taking the team to a training camp in Portugal on it or anything. But for serious and critical situations, it can be used for patient transfer and things like that.
Okay, what do you think, Councillor Martin Scanlon? As I said earlier on, you know, it is probably an easy one to sort of, it's almost clickbait, if you know what I mean. That's not the intention. It is also a significant amount of money. Do you believe it's justifiable, or should they use Ryanair and Aer Lingus like the rest of us?
Well, we have a lot of places in the county we could spend €53 million on with infrastructure, but I do believe it has a useful to the government, like even for medical missions, for taking patients overseas for life-saving operations. It's vital for that there, just to have it at the go there from Baldonnel. I do believe that they have chartered a commercial jet at the minute to carry out that work, while the Learjet is inoperable. And I would love to know what the cost of that is compared to having their own. So you have like the Learjet, I think it was bought in 2004. I don't know if it was bought brand new. But
The question is, we need a jet at all. Obviously we're replacing the old jet, but do we need a jet? I mean, obviously, if you're telling people that, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, but if you're telling people that you have to cut your emissions, you have to do this, that, and then, right, what kind of message does it send if you have a gas-guzzling jet that you can fleet around the world on?
Well, it, I don't think that the ministers need it for going. Ryanair will do them grand, even though he is charging 500 from Stansted over Christmas. But it would be more for the medical emergencies to have it there. That's what I'd be thinking for.
Okay.
And the Learjet came in 2004. 20 years of a shelf life doesn't seem to be much for a jet that's going to cost $50 million, like, so I don't know what
I presume would it will be sold on. It's hardly going to go into the scrapyard, is it?
You would hope so.
Could
now.
Could do, I don't
you
know.
You wouldn't know. It could end up like the voting machines.
You'll need some hangar to store that for 20 years. Paul Harkin, if you just tuned in, is the owner of Harkin's Galas. He's got three of them. He's also chair of the Ballybofey Stornoway Chamber. What's your immediate reaction to this type of story, Paul?
Well, look, this popped up on a news feed there during the week, and initially when you start to read it, you think, you know, €53 million is a huge chunk of change, by any stretch of the imagination. But then I read on, and I was actually surprised to learn, you know, all the different usages of the jet. Like it said, it's quite regularly used for the transport of Irish children to UK, in some cases for life-saving treatment, in some cases to receive transplants. Now, I think if you asked any parent of one of them children, is it worth having? I'm sure they'll tell you yes. It's also been used in circumstances where to evacuate Irish citizens from hostile situations. Again, if you had a loved one or a family member in that type of environment,
you wouldn't be worried about the cost.
You wouldn't be worried about the cost.
Yeah.
You know, again, we live in a country that's punching well above his weight in terms of, you know, how we perform, and, you know, worldwide economically we're doing quite well. You know, sometimes, and we've all been in this situation where you're trying to juggle a busy schedule, and sometimes you're trying to be in two places at the one time, which is not always possible. So you can only imagine that that's magnified for government officials and ministers. So look, some stages, I think, you know, it is necessary that they should have the use of a jet to perform this. But again, Greg, I would stress, you know, you need to be sensible about this.
Yeah, of course, and not use and abuse it. You don't want these, you don't want these stories, these stories coming out where it was completely unnecessarily used. I get you. Okay. And that's about accountability and responsibility. Back to the speed on the roads. Talking about speed on the roads, I think that 60 miles is 27 yards a second, 1,760 yards in a mile. Just a statistic to think about. Yeah, it moves very quickly indeed. Greg, it might be a good idea to ask the homeless, is it a good idea to buy a new jet for the elite? But again, you know, I think you have articulated the arguments as to why it is. Will they have to build a new shed for this new jet? Has that been costed? I think we've a comedian in the house, but I take the point that they're trying to make. Let me see. Driving test centre closed yesterday and today. That seems to be an ongoing problem. I wonder, is that Letterkenny again? Another policey is not the solution to the problems on our roads. You could have checkpoints everywhere, but it won't change some people's careless driving attitude and lack of courtesy on the roads. And I think, just to go back to that briefly, I think that is, and this is the point I was trying to make yesterday to Inspector McGonagall, not that he was disagreeing with me in any shape or form, and I wasn't just saying it because the guards were sitting in front of me in the ambulance service. There comes a point, we don't want an overreach of policing, you know, we don't want rules for everything, do we? We do at some point have to be taking our own responsibility, personal responsibility. I think that's an important part of the road safety message, Barry.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. I mean, we've said it already. You can police the hell out of anything, but you have to change the behaviour, and that's the thing. You know, another thing we didn't just mention on that was the national speed limit review as well, which is happening. So hopefully that will help to change the attitude, you know, and have those slow zones outside schools and in urban areas or residential areas where there'll be a limit of 30 kilometres per hour and other reductions in speed limits on certain regional roads and that. So, but that's down, again, that's down to council to evaluate some of that too within each council area.
But, yeah, indeed. Yeah. No, I take your point there. Just a quickie here. We learned that the new camcorder is not fluent Askaliga up to a standard that's been seen in the position before. Do you think it should be a prerequisite to getting that job, or do you think it's a positive because she's committed to bring her Irish up to an acceptable standard? And we saw, I think, it worked really positively for the Irish language. We saw Joe McHugh given a portfolio. His Irish wasn't necessarily up to scratch, but he did bring it up to scratch really, really quickly. So, I mean, again, if you want to be anti-establishment, the default is no, she must be able to speak Irish. But Paul, I wonder, maybe it's a positive thing that it'll show that, you know, you can learn Irish and use it in your work. I don't know, what's your view on it?
Well, just firstly, Greg, I'd like to welcome the fact that it is a woman that has been appointed the position of Camcorder.
History making, yeah.
First in the history of the state, which is long overdue. The other thing I would like to say, it's actually nice to see an independent in the position too, because, you know, the notion's always put out there around election time that a vote for an independent is a wasted vote.
Yeah.
They have no clout, they'll not be able to deliver anything. And I think it's fair to say at the moment, it looks like independents are certainly going to form part of the makeup of the next government. So be under no illusions, they will have serious clout and they'll deliver significant projects for their constituencies. But in relation to... you know, having to be able to speak Gaelic to hold the position. You know, I suppose predominantly down through the years, most of the people who've held the office of Camcorder have been fluent in Gaelic. Indeed, we had two Camcorders here in our own county. We had Cormac Breslin and we had Joe Brennan, both fully fluent in Gaelic. And we had
too,
the last Camcorder, yeah. Pat the Cope, who again fully fluent. You know, there's a certain number of deputies who choose to do or to use Gaelic in the Dáil. So as Camcorder, you're chairing the proceedings. So you would have to have some level of fluency, but certainly you would have to have an understanding of the Irish language to be able to conduct your position.
All right, and Paul brought up some interesting points there as it relates to, it's clear now that independents, Labour have pulled out of government formation talks, it's clear now that independents are going to play a critical role in establishing this government. As an independent yourself, Martin Scanlon, would you echo Paul's views? It shows that a vote for independence is not necessarily a wasted vote. But then again, some people don't like the fact that independents get into a sort of a mini party themselves. And, you know, there's different views in relation to that as well.
But still, well, it looks like we are going to have the regional independents going to form a government. And, you know, you have to take the hats off to them that they were managed to get the position of Camcorder out of it, you know. And it's obvious that the negotiations were going on fairly early in the day, and that the talks with Labour and the Sock Dems was kind of just a red herring, I would say, to make out that they were interested in talking to other people. You don't get the Ken Corliss job just without something behind it. No, it's good to see independence, and they'll have a bit of extra clout in the programme for government, and they'll probably bring a bit of balance. You've seen the Greens had 12 TDs in the last government and they got nearly all of their policies implemented. Yeah. You know, for 12 TDs out of a government of 80, it was a massive achievement what they got. A lot of their policies was implemented. So, and again, you probably say that the independents, they'll look after their own counties first, which is probably true. All politics is local. You know, so...
I'd hate to be a government TD in the same constituents as one of these independents, though. You know, when it comes down to welcoming all the good stuff.
When you go to Dublin, you look after your constituency first. Yeah. Like, so if you're along with a government party, you should be all welcoming everything to the county.
True,
like,
enough,
if I was up there, you'd be trying to do your best for Donegal, and hopefully we have our first representation now from the Finn Valley and Charles Ward, so hopefully that'll bring the fruits to the area.
Yeah,
so
it'll be interesting. Barry, I think, you know, I don't care who's in power. I do like it when it feels the whole country's being represented. And I think with a group of rural independents in there, especially if you get sort of that rural ministry that's being offered, as I say, it doesn't matter if it's Sinn Féin, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil or the independents. It'll be good if rural issues feel like they've got more of a centre stage down in the seat of power in the capital. I don't know what your views are on that.
Yeah, I would welcome a good stable government that will represent the whole of the country. And I think it's probably not a bad partnership at all to have regional independence involved within it, so as we can tackle these very, very important issues that we have in rural Ireland. And, you know, if I take my constituency, if I can say it that, you know,
you can't say that, no, because we're hoping to get it sorted, right, by the time the next election comes.
I absolutely hope it's sorted for next time round.
Barry's from the south of the county, which is in Sligo, North Leitrim, but anyway, go ahead,
but
Barry.
Just in the Sligo Leitrim South Donegal constituency, you know, Frank Feehan topped the poll there, and now it looks very possible that Marian Harkin is going to be part of that government as well. So there'll be two government TDs, you know, in the Sligo Leitrim area, which is to be welcomed, you know. And
I know that they work quite well together. Marian Harkin does approach as a Northwest TD, yes. I think, you know, that's the feeling I get from her. So hopefully it's good for us. All right, then, brilliant stuff. Those are the views there of Barry Sweeney. We've got Councillor Martin Scanlon. Sorry, did someone want to say something?
Just on the, I suppose, on the Irish language itself, in terms of Fiona Murphy not being fluent in it, you know, I would certainly welcome the fact that she's committed herself to upskilling and learning Irish. And, of course, straight away, we think of Joe McHugh.
I think it can be spun into a positive.
Well, it can be done, and I think he has gained quite a bit of respect and also a love for the language that maybe he didn't have before. Yeah. And it's been a very positive thing for Gaeilge in Donegal.
Hopefully, she'll follow Mary McAleese's footsteps. Mary came to Glencombe Kill to upskill her.
That's where Joe
her
went as well, Deputy McHugh went as
you
well.
You know, former president. So,
actually, I think that Joe McHugh, I spoke to him recently, and he's a book. I'm sure you're aware of it. He's a book coming out soon about his learning of Irish.
And that's beautiful. I was waiting for the Warts and All book. Do you know that will pull the curtain back on the dastardly politicians? But no, it's going to be interesting. Actually,
it'll be interesting. It's a story about learning Irish and throwing yourself in there, you know, and it's going to be called Beishe All Right. And, you know, I think it's probably a book that could be a good good purchase by Fiona Murphy, maybe, you know, in the new year to start her language. And, you know, it'd be no harm if she came up to Edgescale and Glencombe Kill or to Maror D or Fannett or somewhere for a couple of weeks during the summer.
All right, brilliant stuff, gentlemen. We'll be back with more from our panel after we take this break. Stay where you are. You are tuned to the 9 till noon show here on your number one local radio station. It is Highland Radio. We're broadcasting live from the Villa Rose Hotel, Ballybuffet. We're celebrating their 12 days of Christmas kindness, and there's been some wonderful acts of kindness, which we'll learn about a little later on. Coming up after 10 o'clock, there's so much happening, you know. We've got the Finn Valley College. They're going to perform a couple of songs for us. Looking forward to that. The HSE Choir is going to be in studio. Fionnuala Rabbit's going to be here. She's going to be unveiling the winners of a couple of the categories from our colouring competition. Oh, Shauna Scanlon's coming in as well, a very popular local artiste as well. And we don't have very long with our final with our guests. We're in the final segment. It's Barry Sweeney, it's Councillor Martin Scanlon, and it's Paul Harkin, and it's Christmas. It is Christmas, Paul. I imagine across your three stores, right, very, very busy because, you know, you're servicing the needs of all your customers, etc. Have you got your head in the Christmas space yet? Are you feeling festive? Do you wish you had a Christmas hat on? That kind of stuff.
Look, it's a good time of year, Greg. Certainly in the stores, you know, particularly the last few days running it, we be extremely busy. I think people are out and about and they're in that spending mode. Nobody's cooking, thank God. They're visiting the deli. You know, there's huge volume of traffic on the road, so you're picking up coffees and you're picking up different things. But look, you know, it all helps. You know, business is tough at the minute, despite what some people might think. Certainly for small SMEs, you know, it's difficult out there at the minute. But look, for me, you know, Christmas, I look back, you know, I've had loads of happy memories. You know, thankfully I grew up in a loving and happy home.
It's such a gift, isn't it, that I also had as well. And I never take it for granted, but you could easily could, because it's just not everybody's experience, Paul.
Do you know, I know my mum will be listening today, so I would just like to thank her for that. You know, but that, you know, many years spent with all the excitement. And, you know, at the end of the day, Greg, I don't think it really mattered what you got on the day. You're always just happy.
Yeah.
You know, but then you fast forward then maybe 20-odd years and you have kids yourself. And, you know, I remember our first Christmas with their oldest daughter. She was 11 months at the time, you know, and she came crawling around under the room, you know, and I think... You know,
but there's something I think when the young ones are that age, it brings it all back to you and you start enjoying Christmas again. And an 11-month-old, and I went through this, they have no clue what's going on, right? Well, maybe with a girl they had, but certainly a boy wouldn't.
No.
But you, the family sort of, they have their Christmas through the baby, don't they? It's lovely. It's a brilliant time
exactly
of the year.
Exactly. She had young. No clue of what was going on. But me and the mum were like two kids, the excitement.
Yeah.
You know, and as you say, it brought it all back to you. Thankfully, I was able to video every Christmas.
Brilliant.
From the kids started to they grew up, you know, and just that excitement and just to watch them grow and over the years see the different excitement, you know.
And like, to be present in their growth.
It's great
growth,
to be able to do that, but it's also great to have that recorded, Greg, because, you know, at some stage they'll have that to look back on,
yeah.
You know. And for me, sometimes you're looking back at them through your own eyes in terms of how
Barry,
you enjoyed it. You know?
Barry Sweeney, Christmas for you.
Yeah, I like Christmas. I really do. I don't like a lot of the pressure and the kind of stress that people are under and the kind of expectation
yeah.
and the commercialization and the spending and all that. But I think what's really important is the kind of time of
now,
year.
Now, you're not talking about coffee and deli food here.
No.
Just so
but,
we're absolutely clear, all right?
To be honest, seriously, I think shopping locally is so
it
important
is,
this
yeah.
time of year. I mean, for the local hands, it's an art and craft cooperative in Ballyshannon as well. And there's a lot. There's actually up to about 30 people involved there, creating local crafts and arts, and gifts.
Which makes a very unique, special Christmas present.
It does, and it's so much better than clicking on your phone onto Amazon and getting something, you know, for half nothing or whatever.
Especially but when Tom Dara has a go at Holyhead and.
Well, yeah, that's it,
land.
And it's not even guaranteed. All you need to do is walk in and have this wonderful shopping experience, you know, and have a bit of crack and deal with people and hold and touch crafts in your hands and stuff, so as you can actually see what you're buying before you buy it, you know. And we do have good return policies as well, you know. So
I'd say very little comes back now,
yeah.
In fairness.
But no, I think it's a lovely time of year for reflecting and evaluating the year and looking at what's been good for the year, you know, within that year, what's been bad. What
and you know, when you strip out... When you strip out all the gifts and the presents, and it's lovely, right? And this is adults more than children, maybe. What is Christmas then? It's meeting people that have come back that you haven't seen for ages. Maybe it's family. It's the glass of wine or 7-Up or whatever it might be on, you know, Christmas Eve. I don't know. You know, those are the real memories, aren't they? I don't remember opening a specific present at Christmas, but I do remember people being about and happiness.
Yeah, and it forms what you love about your place, your home or your home place. You know, if you're traveling home for Christmas, that's always a really special thing to re-hook up with family and friends and that, and have it can be a meal, it can be a session, you know, it could be a bit of music, whatever.
I thought
like
that's what you meant when you said a session.
Well, I was thinking session, music session rather than something else, but and I do think that that's kind of what it's all about, family, friends, taking a wee bit of time out and evaluating what's positive in life, you know. And I could see that actually, and congratulations to yourself and the team on some of the bits I've heard, you know, over the last number of days out and about. Like to hear, I forget her name, the lady up in the Buncrana Community Hospital singing Danny Boy for Danny McLaughlin.
Bridie.
And she was absolutely brilliant. And just to see the kind of sense of crack and community that there was there. And that's what's important within our health, within the health service.
I'll not let on to Niall Delaney. You were listening, all right?
Yeah.
Martin Scanlon, what about you in the last minute and a half that we have?
Oh, I love Christmas. So I do. It's a great time of reflection, you know, and of everything that went on in the previous year. And I've had an exciting one. But it's great to look back, you know, and you're supposed to, you think of the memories of the people that are not with you anymore. I think of my own mother. But it's Christmas morning, waking up. I used to think being a kid was the thing. It's actually having kids on Christmas morning
100%.
Is the one. You know, and they often say the best jewels you can have around your neck is your children's arms, which is true.
Yeah.
And I love Christmas morning. It's just, we don't record it. I just keep it in the mind, just, and it's... We might have recorded the first one. I think maybe the novelty might have wore off after that.
Well, I'm afraid I'm in Paul's camp here. You can't move without it being recorded in my house. All right, listen, lads, it's been lovely having you in. Thank you so very much indeed. Paul Harkin, hopefully you get time to... people are shopping, like the shops are closed for 2 weeks, like they used to be, but they're only up closed for probably 3 hours now. But anyway, Paul Harkin, owner of Harkin's Gala Stores, thanks so very much indeed. Councillor Martin Scanlon, it's been lovely having you here, and Barry Sweeney as well. Thank you so much. I know all of you travelled a distance to be here, and it's greatly appreciated. Okay, thank you. That's the first hour in the bag here in the 9 till noon show, and from here on in, we've got live music, we've got conversation, and so much more besides. Stay tuned. We're going to throw back to studio for the news and obituary notices.